This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What is going on, Thunder fans? It is that time of year again. For the first time in almost 5 years, the Thunder are back in the playoffs. And BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season. From MLB golf, the MLB and NHL playoff stats, all the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
And welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunzinger, at Thunder Chats. We're part of the BeLieve Network. This podcast is brought to you by betonline.ag. If you cannot tell by the tone of my voice, the mood of the pod is going to be a little bit somber as the Thunder lost their first game since April 5th with Kyler Murray and James Conner in attendance to the Dallas Mavericks in game two of the playoffs, 119 to 110. We're going to talk about it. Just like we'll peek behind the curtain. This is not going to be a super long pod. We're just going to kind of air out our grievances, talk about what went right, and maybe, you know, discuss some things we can change. And yeah, probably right around 30, 35 minutes we're cutting out because I can't be late for work again. So with that being said, we've got some people joining us on the podcast. First, I got the man, the myth, the legend, Batman himself, chilling at Wayne Manor, Alex Alejandro. What up, Alex?
Not much, man. I mean, I haven't been on a lot of pods here lately, but the one pod I do jump on, it's an L. It is what it is. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. But yeah, a little bit somber.
It's like the Dos Equis guy. It's like, I don't always podcast, but when I do, it's the loss in a playoff game. So, but also joining us, we've got Matt Tierney, the cockroach connoisseur himself, the producer extraordinaire, Matty Double Dribbles, Wiggins enthusiast, the tyrannical one, Tierney. What up, Tierney?
I'm a Wiggins enthusiast, yeah, after tonight. Always have been, but proclaiming it more so. I'm good. I was talking before we went live. Got some Chipotle for dinner today. Just watching the game, having fun. Tweeting, just having a good time. If you were paying attention to our Twitter account, we didn't tweet during the third quarter. you can put the pieces together there, I think. I missed it. I was preoccupied. Yeah. So I'm not feeling hot still. I'm about like 80%. If I dip out, if I turn my mic off, you know where I'm at. I'm going to try to survive, though, in the 30 minutes. So, but yeah. Not the greatest. I think the last time I was on also two was maybe a loss, but maybe not. So So it's
so you were last on a month ago.
I was about to say you've been on.
I guess not. I guess I was on maybe a week and a half ago. So I guess not. But it feels like when I come on more recently, it's been only like I've missed the wins a lot. I guess is what I'm saying. So, but I appreciate everybody in the chat on YouTube. We had Alex chiming in talking about on to the next. Got Outcast here saying we just got to regroup. Got a couple other. Normals got Ryan in here.
It's like we got a Mavs fan in the chat, which
a Mavs wild.
Fan. Yeah, thanks,
appreciate you joining in, Cleafus.
Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate everyone who's still watching yeah. And
sure as hell weren't here after game one.
Yeah, I'm good. No. I'm ready to get this over with. Talk.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I mean, you know, we do our thing, large item, and I think that we should talk about what went right in the game before we get into the things that went wrong in the game. So, I'm going to take the single large item, guys. I want to. I just want to talk about Shea, and you know, we're all going to talk about Shea because he. Like, you know, a lot of the guys did a lot of good things in the game, but like all game long, this man was carrying us, not just scoring, rebounding. The man was a maniac on the glass tonight, like an absolute maniac. He was doing a really good job distributing the ball. He was doing a good job taking care of the ball until like late there in the second half. And I think that could be attributed to not just the load that was put on his plate, based on, you know, like I said, he was carrying us, but also the inability for others to take some of that load off his plate late in the game. A lot of other people, you know, kind of struggled, wasn't able to capitalize like they have in many other games this season. So just became a little bit too much for Shea at the end. Honestly, I mean, I thought he played really good defense on PJ Washington in the post. Obviously, you know, we'll talk about PJ and what he was able to get done in this game. But I thought it was a really complete game from Shea. He had it absolutely working, getting to the rim. He was making really nice, you know, finishing plays around the rim. He had that nice little up and under scoop layup reverse, I think, in the fourth quarter. He had a couple of nice, really good floaters. He had some really good, you know, pull-up mid-range shots. A step back three-pointer in the fourth quarter was like huge. Like it felt like the Mavericks were about to run away with it. And it turns out they did, but Shea gave us a little bit of hope on that three-pointer. So, yeah, I mean, shout out to Shea, man. Like, points aside, like the thing that really stuck out to me was just his work and his energy and his effort on the glass. He only had two offensive rebounds, but it felt like he kept a lot of possessions alive just by – not even securing the rebound, but tipping it out, to his teammates, you know, initiating, starting the fast break with that as well. So, yeah, I mean, shout out to Shea. I mean, he's my single large item, and he was one of the only things that went right tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking the obvious choice on single large item.
I think the – you hit everything I was going to say. I think the three in the fourth, that was big. Like it felt like that was an opportunity to get back into it, but obviously not. Was obviously keeping a lot of plays alive on tipping or getting rebounds, like and on like triple double watch too. Like he was mm-hmm. It was one of his best playoff games. I think the best playoff game so far from Shea, and the only reason that we were even in it at all. I would say one of the reasons I'll say there was a few things that happened, positive things that kept this from being like a 20 point game at the end. And he was definitely the main factor.
Yep. Alex, good email. What's your single large item for the game, man?
Just the fact that Mark Daigneault actually went ahead and pulled the trigger in the second half and decided to go ahead and sit Giddy down. I mean, you know, we want to talk about in-game adjustments, and we want to talk about, you know, this coach has the respect enough of his players to be able to make changes on the fly like that and not necessarily, you know, hurt any feelings. You know, there's always egos at play. It's one of the biggest jobs of a coach is to kind of ego stroke and make sure that you're not, you know, you're keeping your players as happy as possible. And, you know, he had to do what he had to do. Like, Giddy was extremely ineffective. the first half. He's been extremely ineffective in this series. And he, to begin,
Yeah,
they're a little.
We're having a little tech internet issues.
But, you know, I do think that. Can y'all hear me now?
You're back.
A little bit.
You're okay.
It's kind of a little bit.
Y'all go ahead.
Yeah, just to finish. What I think this was kind of my single large item too, related to it, was going to be Aaron Wiggins, because I think the fact that Dagnall made that adjustment was incredibly huge. It was clear, as the writing on the wall was, like, every time Giddey came in, the Mavs went on a run. Every time he went out, the Thunder went on a run. It was, like, very obvious, like, there needs to be an adjustment there. Mm-hmm. And the Mavericks did pretty much play him off the court. And that's not anything new. Like, we've seen Giddey have his fair share of troubles. I don't really want to, like, spend a ton of time just harping on the Giddey things. Like, I feel like I do that a lot, and I don't really want this to be like a bash on our players type of stream, but the fact remains that, like, there needed to be a change. Wiggins came in and, like, third quarter starts, he immediately hits, like, his only three, but he immediately hits a three, and, like, and they go on a run. I missed most of the third quarter, but this part I did see, like, that run there was, like, the only reason that happened, I think, was because of the personnel on the floor. I think if it was the same starting five, we see a totally different situation. Again, I think we probably lose by, like, 20 or 25 if we don't make that adjustment. So Wiggins was big. And then, I guess, kind of since we're finishing up single large time, the other one I did want to shout out is Casey Wallace in the fourth quarter. Like, pretty crazy that a rookie is making the impact that he is doing. Like, in particular, the one really fun play was that one where, like, Casey intercepted that pass, leads to, like, the dub tip slam. Mm-hmm. Like, that was a big energetic moment. It got the crowd back into it. And it was another opportunity. There was a lot of opportunities where it was like, we were right there and just needed one extra little push, and we could have had a different situation right now. But yeah, shout out Casey, shout out Wiggins. And just in general, like, the fact that we're completely different from Dallas, it feels like, where, I guess, after tonight, this isn't as much of a point, but usually the way the Mavericks is they live and die by Luka. And it's like, if he's not having a good game, then they're not going to usually win. Unlike, I think, our team, where it's like, there's so many different players that can make a big impact in different moments that it really diversifies, like, who, like, you don't necessarily rely on one or two guys. And so I think you saw that even with the loss today, that Shea had a great game, but, like, different people were making impacts at different times. Minus a couple people, like, Chet didn't have a great game, but different people are making impacts at different times. And that's that diversity is, I think, what keeps the Thunder or what keeps myself confident that the Thunder are still not in trouble. Like, this series is, even though it's 1-1, like, I'm still pretty confident we can pull out a road game or two.
And I do want to say that I do think that this is the one test that in this young playoff run, and it's a loss, and it's going to happen. You know, losses happen. No one's ever gone 16-0 in the playoffs. And so, you know, being able to face this first loss, you know, to go ahead and adjust from this, adapt from this. This is not only the players, this is also the coach, this is also Mark having to adapt and having to adjust and having to make, you know, changes for the betterment. And I do think this is something that the team needed. But with all that said, it was a loss tonight. But kind of how we've done to Dallas before in Dallas, where Isaiah Joe had the Isaiah Joe game, like, Dallas needed PJ Washington and Tim Hardaway Jr. to completely go nuclear in order for them to win. And it wasn't that big, you know. Game one, we blew out Dallas. game two, Dallas did not necessarily blow us out. Like, we were able to kind of hang with them. And if it wasn't for those two players just completely going out of their freaking minds, this is a lot closer game and probably even tilts the other way towards us. And so we're probably not going to see PJ Washington hit 7 threes in a game again. You know, Tim Hardaway Jr., this is what he does. You know, he is feast or famine. And tonight he feasted. You know, next game, maybe next couple games, it may be a famine game and he doesn't play that much on the floor. And so, you know, it was a loss, yes, but this is one of those games that you kind of chalk up to kind of variance. And, you know, sometimes players in the NBA who don't necessarily shine too much shine in a game and they, you know, and they tilt the game toward, tilt the balance towards their team. And so I think that's what happened tonight. I do think that the Thunder came out a little bit flat, but I also think that the Thunder were able to kind of battle and be in this and be in the thick of it, you know, early in the fourth quarter. And then they, you know, they lost it a little bit after that and then they couldn't come back. But it took those two players having monster games to go ahead and kind of put us out of range in this game. So I'm not worried. I'm not necessarily worried.
Yeah. And it felt like
agreed.
Almost all of PJ's threes were like momentum stopping. Like as soon as we started to get on a run, PJ would hit a three. And then Tim Hardaway Jr., like he had three huge plays in the fourth quarter. Like he had that M1 three. He had the three where he got hit and made the three. Or no, sorry. So he got fouled on a three-point attempt, made all three free throws, got hit while he made a three-point attempt. And then that one where he saved the ball in the corner and somehow Dort and Wiggins went to Luka and THJ was sitting by himself in the corner, hit the three.
That was a crazy.
A lot of people on Twitter had already given up on the game. You guys know me. I'm an optimist. Like, you know, if the clock's not over till the game's not over till the clock reads zero. Tim Hardaway hit the three, looked at Chelsea. I was like, that's probably it.
Yeah, that was exactly when I realized it too. And that was crazy that they both left him like that. I was like, what? There's still 2 or 3 seconds. Like, you can just that was crazy. You don't see that from either one of them that often. But yeah, that was pretty much the dagger, I think.
Yeah, and especially given the situation, given, you know, how hot he had been up to that point. So
right.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate, but you know, just a little bit of less of judgment there at the end of the game. And you know, what can you do? I do want to add on to you know, what you were saying about Case and Wallace. I do think that the trio, actually, I guess the quartet, if you will, of our bench mob of Case and Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Isaiah Joe, and Jalen Williams, big boom. I thought they all played really good in this game. Jalen Williams specifically, he was the first guy to come in for Giddy, you know, early in the game. And he was, you know, he had that three. I think he took a charge. He had a reverse layup going baseline. And then he hit another three. And it's not just what he's doing in terms of points. It's the energy that he brings to the team when he's in there. I mean, he's bringing that energy on the bench as well. Like, you know, he's just like a walking ball of energy. But when he's on the court, there's something different about it. And I think the guys really feed off that. He was crucial, like, early on. And, you know, obviously it didn't carry over throughout the game. But, like, that was very – like, it was a shot in the arm early on whenever the Mavericks felt like they were going to run away with it early because of the shooting of guys like PJ Washington. But I do want to give a shout-out. Case and Wallace just absolutely making Luka dance in the corner on that one possession in the fourth quarter. Made me smile as a Kentucky guy to see our young Rook doing that. But yeah, I mean, let's kind of get into some.
Now's the time to save 30% on wedding jewelry, only on BlueNile.com. Make sure your wedding ring is the one with your pick of diamond and lab-grown diamond bands, all hand-finished and graded for excellence. Or surprise her with something blue she'll love for life, like a stunning pair of sapphire earrings. Blue Nile's jewelry experts are available 24/7 to help, from fit questions to style advice. Right now, get up to 30% off at BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Struggles that we had here. Tierney, you obviously mentioned Chet Holmgren, had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 blocks. So kind of stuffed the stat sheet. Like, didn't have like a terrible output. Would have loved some more points, but super inefficient. 4-12 shooting, 1-6 from deep, 2-3 from the free throw line. Missed one late that was like kind of crucial on an M1. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
and one. Yeah.
It's so weird. A guy that could shoot as he can, that just like, he misses free throws all the time. It's very frustrating, but had 4 turnovers as well. And you know, the Mavs were playing physical with him. I mean, let's call it what it is. It wasn't necessarily, you know, Gafford one-on-one just roughing him up with a style or with a size. It was guys digging in on him at the ball, like on drives. Like, they wasn't letting him, you know, have his way on drives. They were closing out to him on 3-point attempts. So like, there was always a hand in his face. I think Luka even blocked him on a corner 3 attempt. So it was a lot different game for Chet Holmgren in game 2 than game 1.
Yeah, the defense in general for the Mavs was really good. I think the Thunder never really got like comfortable in long stretches. And yeah, I think Chet was probably the biggest victim of that tonight. He also wasn't, I don't know if I'm noticing it more now just because I don't know why, but I noticed he's taking a lot more corner threes and not as many above the break threes, which I feel like are where he usually makes them. And so I guess that's just where they're letting him shoot it. But
yeah,
I just, every time he takes a corner three, I'm like, that's not going in. He just isn't good at those. So,
I mean, they're
his shot
open.
Making is, they're open. I know, but yeah. It's just like, I don't know. He doesn't look as comfortable. They're always like line drives too, which I guess most of them are line drives, but it just doesn't look good. But yeah, I don't expect that to be a long, long struggle for him.
I think this was a game where the Mavericks made him work on the defensive end also. You know, they brought Gafford out on roles and kind of made him, you know, one of the about defense is, once the defense starts thinking, that's when the offense kind of wins. And early in the game, you know, brought Gafford out in those high pick and rolls with Luka, and Luka was making immediate decisions. He wasn't necessarily putting the ball on the floor. You know, he was in it. So I think pulling Chet out a lot, especially early in that game, maybe tired him out a little bit, tired his legs. And so later on in the game, you know, there was a lot more offensive rebounding opportunities. There was a lot more, you know, dives to the basket with a lot of those guys. And it just kind of, I think it just tired him out. You know, it's just kind of a situation where, you know, this is still Chet's rookie season and he still has to kind of work on his legs during the season. You know, that takes time for a pro to get to that point.
Yeah. And I do think that I'll have to go back to the tape and like actually watch it. But I remember like listening to everybody talk about game 1. And one of the things that they highlighted that they really loved is that whenever, you know, the guy would come screen for the ball handler, it was lower in the paint. It wasn't a high ball screen. It was like lower in the paint. So like, you know, they didn't have as much time to react on the roll. And that's how Chet was able to get, you know, those easy rolls to the basket, you know, get those lobs. I'll have to go back and look, but it felt like we kind of went back to setting the screen a little bit higher. Like, did you guys catch any of that?
I think they were pushing us out. I think they were pushing us out.
Were they? Okay. Yeah. I mean, hey, matches the eye test, but yeah, I do think that that was something that, you know, kind of threw us off our rhythm a little bit. And, you know, I mean, credit to the Mavericks, you know, they were playing disruptor in this game a lot more than they were in game one, because, you know, they made, you know, those adjustments also, but, you know, they started out cross matching, which, you know, kind of rendered Giddy, you know, ineffective on the court. And they also, I don't really think they stuck with this, but they were full court pressing Shea early in the game. Like, they had Derrick Jones Jr. like all the way up, like 94 feet defending him. And, you know, to Shea's credit, it didn't matter. Like, I don't really think that the Mavericks have anybody that can guard Shea one-on-one. I don't think they have an answer for Shea, to be completely honest with you. But, you know, they had some answers from some of the other things. And, you know, credit to them. You know, they was able to execute that. The other person I did want to talk about before we, you know, kind of close out here, and, you know, before we, you know, kind of talk about an adjustment that will be made. I'm going to bring this up. We'll talk about it, but then I want us each to come up with an adjustment to that we could make going into game three before we close out. So be thinking on that as I speak here. Jalen Williams had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 7 of 17 shooting, 2 of 4 from deep, 4 of 4 from the stripe. And it looked like it was going to be like a vintage Jalen Williams, like, you know, 25, like on super high efficiency, making timely buckets in the fourth quarter, you know, this, that, and another. But he had a really good game early on, and in the fourth quarter, he kind of struggled. You know, it definitely was not dub time as much. And, you know, I mentioned at the top whenever I was talking about Shea that it felt like Shea was doing everything, specifically in the fourth quarter, because he was the only guy that could really buy a bucket. And, you know, that's not just Jalen Williams' fault, but, you know, Dort missed some shots, Chet missed some shots. Isaiah Joe missed a huge shot whenever we was 5-on-4, that would have cut the lead, I think, that was 3 crazy at that point. Yeah, like, we definitely needed to cash that in. But yeah, you know, it felt like another uncharacteristic dub game. And, you know, that's two games in a row. Like, we had, like, no dub the first half of game one, and then he showed up in the second half. This one, you know, he kind of showed up the first three quarters, kind of fade a little bit in the fourth quarter. Like, we need a complete dub game in Dallas, please. I'm begging you. We need it so desperately.
Yeah. Dub did not start very well. I think it was like, I don't remember what his first half stats was, but let me see if I can. Actually, no, never mind. I'm misremembering that. The second half was bad. Yeah. Totally misremember that. But yeah. The only other person or small player things I want to mention, and I guess, oh, we lost Alex. Adjustments. Bad. Yeah. I don't have my notes with me, but I wrote it down. We need to, all the whites except Chet need to be like minimal playing time. Just wanted to mention that before we talk about next game.
Well, I mean, hey, that kind of does transition into next game. Like, Alex said he's not coming back. I mean, that's kind of an adjustment a lot of people are calling for, you know, coming on the pod tonight. But he was mentioning in the text that, like, he thinks it's time. He thinks that the starting lineup needs to change. And, you know, I noticed something on the timeline tonight, Tierney, because as I was tweeting about Giddy, you know, I wasn't like super hating. I wasn't like being overly negative. I was just, you know, saying like, you know, this isn't his series. Like, it's kind of obvious. Giddy's in, Mavericks going to run, take him out. Thunder going to run, and they put Hayward in, the Mavericks going to run. It was like, it was kind of super obvious. And a lot of the people that was getting on me, calling me a Giddy hater, which, listen, by the time I look at this in the morning and I see comments, people are probably still going to call me a Giddy hater. But the same people that were calling me a hater on Twitter was saying, like, yeah, he probably doesn't need to be playing in this series. And it feels right. Like the mindset is starting to change a little bit. And you can kind of see it in Mark Daigneault as well, because, you know, just like in game one, you know, Giddy started out really slow, tried to bring him back in the second half, like right out of the halftime. Again, still not clicking. put Isaiah Joe in, completely changed the game, blew it wide open. Tonight, Giddey didn't really have it going in the first half. You know, tried to put him in, or, and didn't even bother putting him in at halftime. Started Aaron Wiggins, and immediately we went on a run. We took the lead for the first time in the game. Just completely changed the momentum and, you know, gives us entirely new dimensions offensively and defensively, because whenever you don't have Giddey out there, you have Aaron Wiggins, you have Isaiah Joe, you have Case Wallace. You have three guys who can legitimately space the floor. And with Aaron Wiggins and Case Wallace, you have two high-level defenders. And with Isaiah Joe, you have somebody that's at least going to, like, put in effort defensively, move his feet, stay in front of guys. One of the top foul chargers in the league as well. And, I'll say it again. Like, I know Giddey played a really good series against the Pelicans, and a lot of that is because he was able to hit his shots. And, like, that's most of the rub with Josh offensively. Defensively, I thought he did a better job there, but you're not playing with as much speed against the Pelicans as you are the Mavericks. There was many times Kyrie blew right by him, PJ blew right by him, Josh Green blew right by him, THJ blew right by him. Like, multiple people just, like, left him like he was standing in quicksand. And I don't see Diggs not starting him next game or any other game in this series. But I don't think it's a crazy argument to say that you should bring him off the bench at least.
I think realistically what's going to happen is what we saw tonight. I think he's going to start him, very quickly sub him out. His minutes are going to be much lower. 10 minutes tonight, like, even 10 minutes I think is too much, but whatever. Like, I think that's probably what we'll see, but you're right. I think I really would wish one of those other between Case and Wiggs or Joe Case and Wiggs would start. And kind of what you, like, adding on to what you said too, like, but, well, first of all, like, I think you could just easily have like an 8-man rotation with the four that we mentioned off the bench, with Case, with Joe, with Wiggins, and with J Will. Like, those four, like, pick one of them to start, the other three come off the bench. Like, that's an easy 8. Like, Tom Thibodeau does freaking, I don't know, 6-man rotations, like, with the Knicks these days. Josh Hart's playing 48 minutes a game. Like, you don't have to do that, but at least, like, you know, you can kind of cut down this roster a little bit. And I think someone mentioned in the chat too, like, that's one of the things we could do as, like, an adjustment. Like, you don't have to play 10-man rosters every night. But to get to what you were saying too about those other guys that came in for Giddey, and, like, it's not just that they space the floor. All of those guys, all the guards, can also drive. They can defend pretty well. Kaysen can defend very well. Like, they're, like you said, it raises the number of dimensions that you can have on both ends of the court. And so, I don't know. It seems so obvious from a fan perspective. It's just like, just take him out, put him on the bench, put Giddey on the bench, like, It would just feel so much better to watch that brand of basketball. But yeah, it's probably not going to happen. It's probably just going to be like what we've seen all season. You start those five. If Giddey's not having a great game, then you sub him out quick. Which, to be fair to Giddey's, on Giddey's end, like, he has had, not in the Mavericks series, but in the Pelicans one, like, did have a couple good games. So it's like, you gotta respect that a little bit. Granted, they are not, they're two totally different teams. Mavs are way better, but I think that's what Dags is doing. It's like, let's just test the waters, see what Giddey's doing. If not, pull the trigger.
Yeah. Get him out. And, you know, we can't hate too much. And it's not even hating. Like, you know, it's
not hating. It's just like, it's just facts. It's like, that's what's on the court.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, he's the coach of the year. Like, he knows what he's doing, like, 100%. And I'm not trying to say that I can do his job better, or I don't think any Thunder fan is trying to say that. I've seen a lot of people say, I think Mark knows what he's doing or whatever. It's like, yeah, but, like, Mark is also, like, kind of loyal to his guys. And, you know, for better or worse, like, Giddey seems like one of his guys. And, you know, maybe there's going to be a game where Giddey's going to be knocking down his shots.
I was about to say that, yeah.
You know, it looks a lot differently, but at this point, you know, what he's taking away from you defensively, I don't think the trade-off is worth it at this point. So that's right. That's just kind of my thinking. But the other thing that I think the Thunder can adjust, and I've seen a lot of people talk about this online, is the corner threes, man. Mm-hmm. So many corner threes in this one. Obviously, you know, PJ went 7-11. Not all of them were corner threes, but I'd say that like at least five of them were corner threes. Josh Green also hit a couple as well. Obviously, THJ. And, you know, that's good offense for the Mavericks. Like, you know, that's one of the best shots that you could take in the NBA. It's like wide open corner threes. And with guys like Luka Doncic, you're going to generate a lot of those. And, you know, they were generating some of them in game one. They just weren't hitting them. And, you know, they hit a lot of them tonight. I think they ended up shooting,
what they shoot? Just over 50 shot, or just under 50% from
deep. 48.6% from three. And, you know, I mean, you know, they hit a lot of the threes, what I'm trying to say. But a lot of this is because OKC's willingness and I guess their stubbornness to send two at Luka Doncic. If Lu Dort's not guarding him, you can almost guarantee that there's going to be some kind of double on Luka. And, you know, for better or worse, that's just kind of what our defense is. So it's like by design, you know, the threes, the corner threes are going to be open. Yeah, DeFalk brought this up. You know, statistically, we were the worst corner three-point defense in the NBA this year. Not likely much is going to change out of that. I understand that. I'm just saying adjustments I would make. Like, I tend to, like, if Lu Dort's out there and he's guarding Luka, I feel comfortable enough with the results of one-on-one Lu Dort, Luka Doncic, then wide-open corner three, you know, because it is such an efficient shot. So that's just my two cents. You know, like you said, you know, this is – it's kind of by design in the Thunder offense because we swarmed the ball. You know, not even just like, you know, one player. Like Andreas, like a lot of times we have a health defender like stabbing and, you know, stabbing at the ball, trying to get the ball away, trying to create a turnover. And, you know, that lends to why we, you know, create so many turnovers and like we lead the league in creating turnovers. So I get it's by design, but, you know, playoffs are about adjustments. I think that's an adjustment that you don't even have to like fully commit to. Like, you know, if you want to send doubles at Luka 30-40% of the time, just like mix it up, you know, get different looks. Cause we did generate a couple turnovers. I think Dub and Queso doubled him at one point and Queso was able to take the ball from him. So, you know, there is benefits to that, but more often than not, like, you know, Luka is 6'10", sees right over the top of you. He can make any pass on the court. It's kind of playing right into the Mavericks' hands. So that's just an adjustment I would like to make.
Yeah, I do like that they are throwing the doubles at Luka periodically. I think because it worked a lot in game one when they weren't having crazy nights from PJ and Tim Hardaway. Like, I think to your point, like, I think if Dort is out there, then you don't really have to. I do also think we have to see how game three is going to go in terms of officiating, because I felt like it was sort of like game one again, where it was like any sort of bump, there was a foul call, and that sort of renders Dort not useless, but it just like his ability to get on Luka is diminished a little bit. And I think that factors into like his ability to guard one-on-one with him. So seeing how that plays out will also sort of dictate where they go defensively, how often they sort of do that double team. But I do like that they do it, because we did see some success when the Mavs were not like lights out from deep. But yeah, in terms of like, yeah, the corner threes, like DeFalk said, we're not going to probably be able to stop them too much, but I still would like to see some defensive rotation where we can at least drive them off the corner threes and like get them to drive a little more, because we've got really good rim protection. And so if you can at least get a few more of those corner threes to turn into attempts to drive, then I think that's probably going to see more success than not.
Yeah. No, I feel that. You know, at the end of the day, you know, we took the L. I think that we didn't play our best. I think that there are adjustments to be made. There will be a day of rest. There will be a location change. I expect Thunder fans to show up and show out. I don't know exactly the distance between Oklahoma City and Dallas, but it's like what? Like, is it like a 3-hour drive?
I think closer to 4 or 5, but yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I mean, either way, like it's a day trip. Like, and it's early in the day, like specifically mm-hmm. Game 3, it's like early in the day. Like, it's a day trip. Like, make the trip, go in there, be loud, be proud, show Dallas that you travel, you know. The Thunder fans did a great job traveling to the Pelicans in New Orleans. So I expect mm-hmm. them to do the same in Dallas. And, you know, the guys appreciate it. The guys feed off of the crowd and their energy. So, you know, a young team will do that. There we go. Shout out D-Falk once again, coming in clutch. Oh, 3 hours and 6 minutes. If you made the trip right now, no traffic.
You nailed it. Wow.
I'm not going to include that you just Googled it. You just came up with that off the dome. So, shout out D-Fall.
He's just smart. Yeah.
The GOAT tonight. So, but yeah, you know, show up, be active, be proud of this team, because I think that we will have a better all-around performance in Game 3. I expect adjustments to be made. I expect mm-hmm. a different approach to this game. And, you know, you're going to have to go out there. I think somebody asked – might have actually been default. Yeah, it was default. It says, is Game 3 a must win? I don't necessarily think Game 3 is a must win, but I no. think it's really important that you take one of these games in Dallas.
Right.
Whether it's Game 3 or say, Game 4, I don't care.
Game 3/4 is a must win.
Yeah, so that's what we got to do, man. So with that being said, it is – a little bit over what I wanted to go, but, you know, it was a loss. But I told you guys at the beginning of the playoffs, I'm committing to doing a post game every game. So here we are, man. You know, we won, God, I want to say like 12 straight games. 10 straight. To April 5th. It was 10 straight. Okay. Mm-hmm. Going back to April 5th, a loss was bound to come, like Alex said. Like I said in the tweet as well, like, not many teams go 16-0 in the playoffs, but yeah, let's see here. Oh, Cleafus just, you know, just one last word here. He says Luka's going for 40 on Saturday. I want to hear what y'all say then. Listen, Cleafus, if he goes for 40 and we win, I don't care if he goes for 40. So
shout out Cleafus, because the chat has been real lively today with the debates.
I appreciate
the engagement, if nothing else.
Yeah, and, you know, shout out to the chat. You know, I know we're usually more active in the chat, but we usually record like an hour, hour and a half on podcasts. So just trying to rip through it so I can go to bed and not sleep through my 3 alarms and be late for work again. So
it happens.
That's what we're doing. But Tierney, you got anything else to add before we get off here?
No, I forgot it. But, yeah, I think, like, it's – a lot of things had to go right for Dallas and a lot of things had to go wrong for us. And it was still a 9-point loss. Like, I think if you put it into that perspective, I'm not worried. I'm really not. And I think Dagnall is a better coach than Kidd. Obviously he won coach of the year, so that should be obvious. And I think his adjustments are going to be sufficient enough to pull out at least one win. I think 2, to be honest. I think we can actually pull off both road wins, but that'd I think we can at least get one. Yeah, so that would I'm confident.
Would be huge. Yeah, I mean, I just think, like you said, I love PJ Washington. You guys know me, BBN, Kentucky legend, Shea's teammate. I've campaigned for him to be a part of this team for the past like 3 years. I don't think he's going to hit 7 threes again. I don't, you know, Josh Green.
Knock on wood.
He's going to hit 3 threes, I almost said free freeze or 3 frees. I don't think THJ is going to score. What did he score?
17 and 10 or something like that.
17 points for THJ. I just don't see that happening again. So that's what I'm going to say. So there I am knocking on wood. What did he say? Speed telling me the Mazar compared to OKC. I wouldn't say they're limited. I think the Mavs are pretty deep. I think they got a pretty good roster. You know, I think, you know, they definitely miss Kleba, but I think they got some good players out there. It will be interesting to see if how Gafford ends up doing. I know he injured his hand blocking Dub and subsequently hitting the backboard. So interesting to see how that affects him the rest of the series, because he's a very aggressive player. When he dunks the ball, it's very aggressive. When he blocks the ball, it's very aggressive. So be interesting to see how that works out. But Tyler, bro, jumping in right at the end of the pod. Short answer, yes. Short answer, maybe.
We love it.
Short answer, maybe Case Wallace. But short answer, I don't think Diggs is going to. So that's almost there on that. But yeah, with that being said, guys, we will be back Saturday. I don't think we're going right post game because
Saturday evening.
Yeah, I'll be coming back from watching the game with friends. So, you know, maybe some guys will jump on if something crazy happens, and you know, I might join in from the car. But otherwise, otherwise we'll be here Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, like we always are. So, yeah, until then, go ahead. And if you are in the chat, like I said, we have a very lively chat up in here right now.
Appreciate it.
Go ahead, do us a favor. Cleophas, you know, you're new here, so do us a favor. You've been awesome. We appreciate your interaction. Appreciate you being cool. Like the video, subscribe to our YouTube, hit the notification bell. So you don't miss out when we go live. Cleophas, you can come back if Lucas scores 40 and hear what we say then. And go ahead and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. Matt Tierney is doing great things on there when he's not attacked by Chipotle. Subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcast. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review. We definitely appreciate that. Just realized I had my stupid light set up this whole time and didn't have it on. So that's awesome. So you guys will have it at the end of the podcast. But yeah, until then, we will be back Saturday post game. Until then, I hope everybody has a great night. God bless. Hoop when you can. And as always,
thunder up. Thunder up.
I just like. Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder.
Thunder up!
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started on your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Save big money at Menards.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.